All right, back on the Young Turks. The Mad Lib says InfoWars equals the war against information. Also boner pills and protein powder.
And bone coffee. Did you see the story that they teased? They didn't actually really go into depth, but I saw it on Media Matters. It was one of the guest hosts talking about the proof that's being suppressed that Hitler is still alive.
Come on, anybody who believes in InfoWars.
Yeah,
I'm
and
sorry,
that's going to start to really damage their great reputation, which Trump told us about.
Yeah, I'm trying hard not to call people stupid, but it's a
Why?
Struggle every day, and
I often feel
I know.
A lot of stupid around there, needs to be identified and cataloged.
So The Hill writes in, as in the major publication, new progressive group led by the Young Turks co-founder endorses Feinstein challenger, indeed, Allison Hartson.
They're watching the videos.
In fact, you know what? For the first time, but not for the last time, let us go to our thermometer for jdems.us/Allison. This is super important because they, unfortunately, a lot of the media and other folks judge things by how much money raised. Washington, 23,747. Can I see 147,000? Can I see 147,000?
That really went up fast.
Look, man.
Wait. So I didn't hear the initial. Why 147,000? Is that that's some multiple of 27 or?
No. That's the amount of money you need to have access to the voter rolls.
Oh yeah.
Okay, in California, it is astronomical.
That's a lot of money. Yeah.
And by the way, that is what prevents a lot of people from running because they think, well, I can't raise $150,000 or $147,000, so I won't have access to the voters. I can't. There's no way I could win.
Yeah.
And it's true. If you don't have that money and you don't have access to the voters, there is almost no way you can win.
Let alone like just to be, you know, to run for Congress in a small state. I mean, you need millions.
Yeah, and look, like, as we get into this, and we'll talk more about it in the 3 hours that are coming up and throughout the campaign. But you can't take in California for a long period of time, you cannot take a salary from your campaign. So if you're not a millionaire and you don't already have a ton of money in the bank, it's almost impossible to run.
Yeah,
it's crazy. And they built a system so that small donors can't win. But Bernie showed us that in extraordinary times you can. And I believe this is another extraordinary time.
Yeah.
And I think we can. So look, you need small donors. Otherwise, you got to be a millionaire or a billionaire. It's crazy. The system is nuts. That's why we got to get the money.
Well, unless, I mean, those, you know, you need all that money to win is because basically people have run very similar campaigns. But if it's possible that the internet and social media, word of mouth, all that can actually replace the TV ads are, you know, the lion's share of that huge amount of money.
Yeah.
Possibly maybe you don't need it that much.
So no, Feinstein is expected to raise at least $10 million. Okay. God bless. We don't need 10 million. We can beat it with a lot less than that, but we definitely do need money to hire staff, to get the voter rolls, etc. This is the beginning, right? You've got to at least get this.
What percentage of that 10 million would she still have after Hillary Clinton's campaign takes their cut?
Well, I hope Hillary does take a cut of Feinstein's.
I think she would have 50,000. Is that what the half of 1%?
Yeah. And by the way, the DNC, I mean, if they're not, so do we trust them to be neutral in this race? Their beloved Feinstein. So we'll see. Anyway, guys, before John, I go to the next break, can I see 25? Can I see 25?
You might see 25 right now, actually.
jdems.us/Allison. We can do it together. All right, last two real quick tweets for you. I'm sorry, one last one. Matthew Reed says, there's no way that Mercer didn't know that they were taking notes from neo-Nazis. He's just trying to distance himself now that it is public. I don't know what he knew or didn't know in private. I do know that he knows now, and he's still saying, "Oh, Breitbart, so bad. That's why I let my daughters run it."
Yeah, and but I mean, we're not going to relitigate the whole thing, but like, oh, so now some of these people are bad because they're openly with Nazis. I preferred them back when they were just organizing their online followers to attack and harass female video games journalists and things like that. These people were nobodies. And then they were horrible people known for being horrible. There was no other period for you to both know them and not be offended by them. Yeah, that's the only reason anybody knows who they are is because they're assholes.
All right, now let's go on to the macro assholes.
Damn, I had something I wanted to say. Now I don't remember what it is. Anyway, okay, I guess we'll talk about the news then. We've been waiting all year to find out what would actually be in the Republican tax cut bill when it finally comes out, and we now know it's been unveiled, and so we're going to break it down and we're going to find out if it's good or bad for you. Maybe you're a regular person and you're going to get screwed. Maybe your last name is Mercer or Trump and you're going to do quite well. Let's find out together. First, some of the things that are not super surprising that are in here, starting off with massive cuts to corporate taxes. The bill proposes permanently cutting the corporate tax rate from 35% to 20%. Which we're gonna continue on that graphic, but just think about that. In one swoop, they cut out a huge percentage of all of the taxes that they face. That's what they get. And like, if they get this, if this goes through, and then someday, miracle of miracles, we get an amazing progressive president, then he is going, just to get back to parity, he's then going to have to propose that we're going to be doubling corporate taxes. And imagine the massive fight we're going to have over that. So that's going to be fun in a few years.
And as John explains this whole thing to you, understand that the whole point of this is redistribution of wealth. Mm-hmm. It is to redistribute the wealth from actual citizens, from human beings, to the corporations.
Yes.
They have redistributed the wealth for decades now. And the percentage of taxes paid by corporations, who are multinational corporations and not actual citizens, has gotten lower and lower and lower. Now, yeah, this would make it nearly non-existent. And they say they're taking away the loopholes. They're not taking away all the loopholes. No way. It's 20% plus the loopholes, which then brings you down even lower. The effective tax rate for corporations today is 22%. After this, it'll be much lower than that, yeah, and probably lower than the average American pays.
Exactly.
So, but and they got to get the money from somewhere, and as John's going to explain to you, they're going to get it from you.
Yeah, exactly. These first things we're going to be laying out are basically a gigantic cannon of money they are firing at the wealthiest people in the country, and then we will get to how they're stuffing that cannon full of your money. But so their overall taxes cut from 35% to 20. They also gain new, more favorable treatment of income earned abroad, which is either not taxed at all or taxed at an even lower rate than the 20%. 12% for certain types of money, 5% for intangibles like buildings and factories. I don't understand money, because out of all of those things, stocks, bonds, factories and buildings, the factories and the buildings are the intangibles. Aren't those the most tangible things on the list? Anyway, they're going to be paying basically nothing for it. So that's for corporations. Now, for wealthy individuals, the top tax bracket is going to be 39.6%. So they're not massively cutting that like we thought that they would, and they might still try to, which was previewed in Trump's tax like framework released earlier this year, that sort of thing. It's staying at roughly that same level. However, a group of people that's going to be encapsulated under that is being changed. Individual income to $1 million for couples, up from $470,000 currently today. And so basically people in that larger range between $500,000 and $1 million for a couple are now going to get a significant cut there. Also, the lower tax brackets, the ones that theoretically might apply to you, also remember apply to them, and so they're also benefiting from those as well. Now, what about when these wealthy people who will accrue even more money thanks to these tax cuts eventually kick the bucket? Well, the estate tax is going to be reduced initially. That's by doubling how much wealth can be shielded from it, and then eliminated entirely in 2024. And that's a point we're going to return to. So keep that in mind, that it doesn't get fully eliminated until 2024. Now, there's another way that you can benefit if you're a rich individual and you haven't yet died. There's a pass-through income. This is something we've talked about multiple times, where an individual effectively earns all of their money through a particular type of corporation. So rather than claiming it as their income, it's simply shielded by going through the corporation. Those taxes would be capped at 25% rather than the top individual rate. And you can do the math, 25 is lower than 39, which means that if you can simply claim all of your income through that pass-through, you get a more significant tax cut.
So that is monumentally important for a number of reasons. So the top bracket, and so sometimes the top bracket is 39.6%, and you think, well, all their money is taxed at 39. It's not. only every dollar above now $1 million, according to this plan. It used to be $470,000. $1 million is going to be taxed at a 39.6. But it's not, because almost all the rich will immediately form pass-through corporations.
Yeah.
I could hear the accountants now. Okay, mm-hmm. You'd be an idiot not to form a pass-through corporation. So what does that mean? So instead of paying your taxes as John Iadarola, if John were to one day become a millionaire, he would set up John Iadarola LLC. And he would say, I'm in the very important business of being John Iadarola. Now, you put a fig leaf on it, mm-hmm. right? And, well, I'm actually not employed, I'm a consultant. Yeah. And hence, it's my own business. Mm-hmm. And so you'd then all of a sudden, your rate effectively for almost, I shouldn't say everybody, we'll see how it turns out. But a lot of people in the top bracket will have their rates drop from 39.6. It looks like 39.6, but it's not. Will drop to 25%.
Yeah, and we don't have to speculate about some of the people who will immediately benefit from that. The entire Trump family, all of their wealth is going to go there. Whether they're hiding behind, as you say, an LLC or more generally a CCCP, they're shielded in various ways and their money is effectively going to be taxed at much lower rates.
And let me just say two important things about that. That is not something that the Trump family is going to do later. That is what they do today. They have the Trump.
But now it'll be lower, the actual rate.
And so, but I want to be clear about that. Having an LLC, there's nothing wrong with that. The current law is, if you have an LLC, you pay the same rate based on your bracket as you do if you're a person.
Yeah.
So there's other benefits, but there's no tax benefit in that sense.
Yeah, there's certain in terms of like if you're sued, things like that.
Yeah. And so the Trump organization, being a pass-through organization as it is today, did not give them a massive tax benefit. It gave them other benefits, but not a tax benefit.
Yeah.
Now, the rate is going to be 25% for everything that Trump owns.
Yeah.
He just cut his own taxes by, well, it's 15% overall, but that's actually like a 40% cut of his tax, the amount of taxes that he would pay.
Yeah.
He just gave himself a 40% tax cut.
Yeah.
For what he claims is billions of dollars.
Oh, and we've got another tax cut that he just gave himself. So the alternative minimum tax, which increases taxes for certain affluent or upper middle class households, that's also going to be repealed. That was created because the wealthiest Americans were using so many loopholes and fancy accountants and all that they were effectively not paying much in taxes. And so this was created so at least they would pay a certain minimum amount. And we don't have to speculate about whether this might affect Donald Trump. The only tax information we have from him historically comes from 2005. And if there hadn't been the alternative minimum tax in 2005, he would have paid $31 million less in taxes. So it's amazing that you get elected and then you get to shovel more money into your pockets. You just immediately make the law in a way that benefits you. It's great how that works out. So all of that stuff that we've gone over, and there's far more to it, but those are sort of the broad strokes. Those are extremely expensive to the government to make those changes. You're talking about adding literally trillions of dollars to the federal deficit so that will become debt. This is from the party that supposedly hates both of those things. So how are they gonna pay for it? Well, they need to find the money somehow, especially because in terms of the legislative strategy, the way that it works using reconciliation, they can only get this passed with 51 votes if it doesn't add a certain amount to the deficit. If it does cost more, and it does, then they will need 60 votes and they're not gonna get 60 votes. So they're gonna have to make up the money somehow and it's going to be from you. Here are some of the ways they're gonna try to do that. They're gonna be changing the way that you can benefit off of your mortgage. For all future mortgages, the mortgage interest deduction benefit would be capped at a home value of $500,000, halving it from the current level. Now, from my point of view, that still sounds like, damn, you got a pretty expensive house. But I also know that $500,000 house, that might be a mansion in some parts of the country. In LA, that's the bare minimum for pretty much anything. That is gonna cost you a significant amount of money. But much more likely to affect you is the fact that the deductions for state and local income sales taxes would also be eliminated. The deduction for state and local property taxes would also be capped. And then there's a variety of other smaller deductions like the medical expense deduction and the property casualty loss deductions. So that's for things like if you have some sort of significant out of control medical expenses, you could deduct a little bit of that from your taxes. Up until now, we'll see if that continues. And those sorts of changes are going to affect people all over the country, particularly in blue states, and that is how they're going to try to make back some of those trillions of dollars that their tax cuts for the wealthiest individuals and corporations will cost.
So that doesn't affect the poor very much, but if you're in the middle class, they just took away a lot of the
potentially thousands of dollars.
Yeah, a lot of deductions that you use, and that is why the Republicans have admitted, yes, a lot of people in the middle class might get a tax increase. Mm-hmm. It is so brazen. They're gonna take from the middle class and they're gonna give it to the rich and to the corporations. Why? Because that's their donors. And the middle class didn't donate to them, so they're gonna get robbed. Mm-hmm. That is why this, among the reasons why this plan is now polling at 25%. For a while, Trump miraculously had gotten a little bump in the polls, from what I don't know. But now he's dipping again ever since the tax cut proposal was outlined. And it's really interesting, and I don't think the rest of the press is accurately understanding why his numbers dip. The last time his numbers dipped was because of the healthcare proposal. It was at exactly that time, because that was at 17% approval rating. They're like, yeah, I like that he doesn't like these guys. I don't like Latinos and Muslims either. But wait, my healthcare costs are going to go up, and I might not be covered anymore. I don't like that, right? They actually care about policy. Now, does every American understand policy perfectly? Of course not, right? But do they have a general sense that they're getting screwed? Yes. Yeah. Okay. And they've seen the tax cut. They don't like it. They're like, wait, I thought it was tax cuts for us. Why is my taxes going up? And the rich, their taxes are going way down. You're right. You are getting screwed.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched, I read the transcripts of a couple of interviews that were done with Republican congressmen where they talked about this cutting the corporate tax rate so significantly. They said that not only do independents and Democrats obviously not want you to cut the corporate tax rate, in fact, they want you to raise it, but 53% of Republicans want it to either stay where it is or go up. And universally, the Republican congressman said, I don't believe that. That's not my constituents. And they'd question how polls were done because they say, when I go around, everybody wants the corporate tax rate to be cut. Well, yeah, because the people who are polled probably couldn't pay $25,000 to take a picture with you at some fancy dinner. But that's what they're doing. And there's a couple other aspects to this that I think are worth noting. They want to eliminate the tax incentives to purchase electric vehicles. So that's great. We should subsidize the oil companies, but not the thing that actually allows that industry to get off its feet. I owned an electric car. The only reason I owned it was because of those tax credits. One thing, and you often will give yourself credit for predictions that are correct. I'm gonna do that too, even though I didn't get Jared to get the video. Back during the debates, Donald Trump, when talking about taxes, would get this applause line that he's going to eliminate the carried interest because these hedge fund managers are just putting one over on you. He'd get rid of that loophole. They're not getting rid of that loophole. They're not changing it at all. They're still gonna have that. I don't understand why he got any credit. I said at the time that he's obviously not going to do that. And then there's little things like the fact that there's a couple of aspects of this tax plan for families that's supposed to provide a little bit of relief to them. Those are temporary in the bill, but all the business shit is permanent. Isn't it weird how that worked out? The only sorts of families who are getting permanent tax relief from this plan, that's the Trump family and families like them. And then there's things like the little extras that they throw on as if just to spite you, to spit in your eye. They're adding a brand new 1.4% tax on university endowment income because screw universities. So those universities that fundraise and get money to try to make the school better, all that, they're gonna tax that. Also, they're gonna eliminate the tax break you get for interest you pay on your student loans, which for a lot of Americans could cost you between $500 and $1,000 a year in lost tax breaks. So they can just shower the richest Americans with money, but you have to pay a couple hundred extra dollars per year because you're just desperately trying to keep up with your student loan payments.
So you lose your any kind of deductions for student loans, for electric cars, all the ones that affect the middle class, but somehow they just couldn't close the deductions for the hedge fund guys. And the one thing that he actually promised in the campaign, because in reality, they know that the country is progressive. So certainly on economic issues, they want a higher minimum wage so they could actually earn a decent living. You know, the minimum wage right now, $7.25, gets you $15,000 a year. People are getting crushed, right? So during campaigns, they go, oh yeah, these hedge funds, some bitches, and we're carried interest. Hedge funds, again, are not by definition bad, not remotely, but there's no reason in the world why they should pay lower taxes than everyone else. Mm-hmm. And so Trump knows that people are angry about that. Oh, I'm gonna get the hedge fund guys. And then it comes in and goes, idiots, suckers, just like I suckered you at Trump University. Yeah. No, that's the one thing that we are definitely going to keep. We're just going to take away all of your deductions.
Yeah.
That's who these guys are.
I know what you guys are thinking. You're throwing a lot of numbers around, but you know, you out there, you watch the Republican debates, you know that the only promise that kept coming up in terms of taxes was about one number, how many sheets of paper the taxes the tax plan would fit on. They said it would fit on one. It does not appear that it will at this point. Remember, they kept talking about how it was too complicated. It needs to be on an index card.
There was too many tax cuts for the rich, and they couldn't fit it on one page.
Damn.
All right,
we're going to take more fun.
We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, Jeff Sessions in a world of trouble, and then Rick Perry, his love of fossil fuels has gotten to be to absurd proportions. You're literally not going to believe what he says fossil fuels can do. It's unimaginable. Anyway, we'll share it with you when we come back. All right, back on the Young Turks. Good to see that LA Times and CNN have already written about Allison Hartson challenging Dianne Feinstein and how it is a serious progressive challenge to the senator. Yes.
Well, perhaps they can take it seriously. Looks like they are.
God bless. Yep. Member shout outs today, Lincoln Dowling and Carol Holt. Thanks for making this show possible in the first place. Members, by the way, after the whole 5-hour extravaganza today, you will then get another hour of aggressive progressive. So tytnetwork.com/join. Speaking of aggressive progressive, Jimmy Dore joins us in a little bit. Okay, Carrie Curley says, I did my $27 donation. Love it. In fact, let's get a look at the meter here. JDems.us. Washington! What is this?
Wow.
How did that happen? Bless your hearts. So I was asking for 25,000. John said, oh, we're almost at 25,000 during the break. Then he said, oh, a big thing came in, and I didn't know how big. That's amazing.
Boom.
Let's keep going. Let's hit 140. Okay, at the end of this break, and there's not much time left, just like 12 minutes. Can I see 35,000? Okay. JDems.us/Allison. All right, real quick, Zeiss Cube says, come now, Jen, corporations are people, remember? I heard the next year banks are going to try and become unicorns too. And Antoine Panette says, super glad to see John on the second hour. Weston Cruz says, Johnny Pie LLC is in the very important business of subcontracting the labor of Johnny Pie.
That's true. That's one of our biggest clients. Or I don't know. I don't know how businesses work.
Yeah, that's right. That's 70% of your clients. 30% is Johnny Tie. 11% is True North. Anyway, we've run out of percentages. What's next?
Which, by the way, I just saw the rough cut of some of the trailers for it. I mean, I was in it. I was there. And I'm excited.
No, looks True like North's going to be amazing. Yes.
That guy's in over his head, I think. All anyway, right. Okay. Yesterday, we presented the evidence that Attorney General Jeff Sessions had lied about his knowledge of communications between Russian officials and the Trump campaign during the last election. And that lie, importantly, constituted a federal crime because it happened while he was under oath and testifying before the Senate. Now, this came out of some of the information from the George Papadopoulos indictment. And then we had the video of Al Franken talking with Jeff Sessions, where he says he had no knowledge of communications, despite the fact that he was the one who vehemently shut down that sort of discussion at a national security meeting back during the campaign. So it was interesting when it was revealed that through an intermediary, we learned that Sessions now recalls that he nixed the proposal for Trump and Putin to meet. Unfortunately, that source later clarified that it's unclear whether Sessions recalls nixing the Papadopoulos proposal for Trump-Putin meeting, though he did do so. So it's not immediately clear to me if that's a backtrack because of the reaction to Sessions saying, oh, I did actually remember that. And so now they seem to be trying to muddy the waters a little bit. I don't know if maybe he learned in the interim that that's actually a federal crime.
Hold on, let's put that statement, last graphic back up, because it is wonderfully preposterous. Mm-hmm. Let's see it. Source clarifies, unclear whether Sessions recalls nixing the proposal, though he did do so. Wait, how does he know he did so if he doesn't recall it?
Yeah. Also, I'm not sure that that source knows what the word clarifies means.
He's like, yeah. No, look, that idea of Putin and Trump meeting, I spiked that, but I don't remember if I did. That makes no sense at all. And no. Of course, the reason he's doing that is like, Yeah, I'm the one that said he shouldn't meet with the Russians. So you see? You see, yeah. I thought he shouldn't meet with the Russians. But oh, that means I lied and perjured myself and hence can be thrown out of office. Yeah. I don't remember how awesome I was at making sure that that meeting didn't happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
And understand that this is not the first time that he's a problem. He's had a problem with his memory. He initially, during some of his early, this is back when he was trying to become the attorney general, said that he had had no contact. Then it was, okay, so I met with the Russian ambassador, but I didn't talk about the campaign. Then, oh, I did meet with the Russian ambassador, and we didn't talk about interference. Would you believe that one? And so the goalpost kept moving. Now, Al Franken, who was the one who questioned him in the video we showed you yesterday, has responded to this new information, saying, once again, developments in the ongoing investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 election have brought to light evidence that you, speaking to Attorney General Jeff Sessions there, failed to tell the truth about your interactions with Russian operatives during the campaign, as well as your awareness of Russian contacts by other members of the Trump campaign team. He also called it another example in an alarming pattern in which Sessions apparently failed to tell the truth under oath about the Trump team's contacts with agents of Russia. I am deeply troubled that this newest revelation strongly suggests that the Senate and the American public cannot trust your word. I don't understand why they would have in the first place, but that is a good point. And I think, I mean, and this is normally when I start with that tone of voice, I'm being sarcastic. I'm not. He needs to step down. Okay, he's repeatedly lied to the Senate during the process that got him the office he now holds about important information. Now, look, he's on the older side. Maybe his memory is a little bit sketchy. But when you vehemently shut down discussion during one of the few high-profile meetings of this group, no, I don't believe that you don't remember that. It was an idea that you thought was so terrible that you had to shut it down then, and then you forget about it.
And then you still want credit for doing it. It's preposterous.
I'll give you credit as you sit in jail. How about that? Get your cell, then I'll give you the credit.
Actual credit we should give is to Al Franken for doing a good job in
exactly.
That questioning. Great job there. And then look, if you don't recall, the Republicans think that lying under oath is one of the worst crimes and you should be immediately impeached for it. They impeached Bill Clinton for lying under oath.
Yeah.
So by their own standards, Jeff Sessions should impeach himself.
Exactly. Now, here's the thing. I don't know if Jeff Sessions has actually talked to Robert Mueller, if he's done any sort of work in front of the grand jury or anything like that. But if he told Mueller the same thing he told Franken, then he could be in a world of trouble. Because this all came about because of George Papadopoulos. George Papadopoulos was, of course, arrested. What was he arrested for? He was arrested for lying to the FBI to protect his superiors. That is apparently what Attorney General Jeff Sessions was doing. So if you're wondering whether this is the sort of thing Robert Mueller might act based on, there's precedent to believe that he could.
By the way, it is equally illegal to lie to Congress under oath.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, yeah. What's next?
Okay, let's see. Energy Secretary Rick Perry has a novel solution to the problem of rampant sexual assault in some parts of the world. Wait until you hear what he thinks can cure it. He said this during a presentation where he was talking about some of his trips to Africa, saying, "And it's going to take fossil fuels to push power out to villages in Africa, where a young girl said to my face, one of the reasons that electricity is so important to me is not only because I'm not going to have to try and read by the light of a fire and have those fumes literally kill people, but also from the standpoint of sexual assault." This is where he's talking. "When the lights are on, when you have light that shines, the righteousness, if you will, on those types of acts. So from the standpoint of how you really affect people's lives, fossil fuels is going to play a role in that. I happen to think it's going to play a positive role." So the solution to sexual assault is not, you know, cultural shifts backed up by a change to the judiciary and people actually protecting the rights of women and empowering them. It's coal.
Just when you thought they couldn't get any more absurd in their defense of their donors, Rick Perry has been the light that shines underneath Rick Perry is lit by the fossil fuel companies. They have been his huge donors throughout his entire political career, including, of course, in the state of Texas where he was governor. And so for him to now come out as Secretary of Energy and to say, fossil fuels, they're so wonderful, they'll prevent sexual assault. There's no bottom to that barrel, man.
Yeah.
And so apparently all Roger Ailes and Bill Cosby and Harvey Weinstein had to do was go get gas. If they just gotten some fossil fuels, none of this would have happened. Or if they're, and let's think about how gross that is. The implication is if their victims had just had fossil fuels, then you would have prevented the sexual assaults. We've got a lot of fossil fuels here in America.
A lot of sexual assaults still.
Yeah, we've got a lot of electricity, and that didn't stop Weinstein or Ailes or O'Reilly or Cosby or millions of other times that it has happened.
Yeah.
No one could say this with a straight face, but Rick Perry. Rick Perry thinks, I don't care, man. Those guys fund me to say insane stuff, and I'll say it no matter what.
And look, there's probably no reason to try to find substance in what he was saying. But if you wanted to, the idea that light stops crime, that is something that scientists have actually looked into in a number of different studies, in a number of different contexts. And the scientific evidence is at best mixed that more light actually stops crime. But even if you thought that it did, how about solar? That will power a light, okay? Wind energy. And this isn't just speculation from some sort of crazy hippie environmentalist or something. They have looked into it and found one major study said that by 2030, increased solar and wind in Africa because of their abundance of both sun and wind could take care of, I believe it was, all of their projected energy demands by 2030 could be done through renewables. And you'd have less sexual assault. So why not get all three of those?
John, that sounds like a wild conspiracy theory to me. I know that fossil fuel prevents sexual assault, but you come in here with your liberal attitudes and claim that the sun also provides light. Of course, that sounds like a Chinese hoax to me. It's amazing what people will say if they get paid for it.
Yeah.
All right, unfortunately, we don't have time for the Russian story. It's amazing also how much division that the Russians sowed. We have a whole nother show tomorrow where we'll have some more of the news, obviously. So I want to say before we go in this hour, we're going to have a number of Justice Democratic candidates, including Doug Applegate, who had the closest election in the country last time around. With Daryl Issa, almost beat him last time, almost certainly will beat him this time. By the way, are other Democrats supporting Applegate, who has an excellent chance of winning? We're going to ask him when he gets here. We're going to have Allison Hartson back on to talk about why Dianne Feinstein is so conservative. She really is shockingly conservative. It's ridiculous that California has a senator with that track record. We'll talk to you about that track record. But let me see where we are right now with the fundraising for Allison's campaign. 33,826. Can I see 35? Well, by the time that we come back, we're going to take a quick 5-minute break here. When we come back, Jimmy Dore, Allison Hartson, we're going to go at length about Feinstein's record and exactly how Allison plans on winning. And I can't wait, man. We've got the primaries at the beginning of June, and then obviously the general election in California is like everybody else's in November. Let's get it revved up right now. The earlier the lead we have, the better off we're going to be. All right, so we'll be right back, guys. Don't go anywhere. 3 hours extra show coming up right after the break.